From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we begin today's program with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. Last week, she easily won re-election, 56-42, with a small number of votes to be counted. Duckworth will begin her second six-year term in January. In order to make our schedules meet, I spoke with Senator Duckworth Tuesday afternoon. Two notes on that. I began by asking her about a Russian missile that had killed people in Poland. Since then, both Poland and NATO said the blast was likely unintentional. We also spoke hours before former President Donald Trump announced his intention to run for the office again in 2024. With that out of the way, here's my conversation with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. Senator Duckworth, welcome back to The 21st Show.
It's good to be on. Thanks for having me.
So I want to begin with some serious news coming out this afternoon on Tuesday as we're speaking. The Associated Press reported that a senior U.S. intelligence official says Russian missiles crossed into NATO member Poland, killing two people. You talked about the possibility of a Russian incursion into Poland and how by treaty that would necessitate American involvement in the defense of Poland. Are we heading for war?
Well, I'm waiting to get more information on what exactly happened. I've seen their press reports as well. It seems like this is basically a misfire on the Russians' part. They were aiming for Ukraine, and the missiles did go, further than they expected them to and landed in Poland. If Russia were targeting Poland, then it would be up to Poland to decide if they wanted to view it as an actual attack and to invoke Article 5 of the NATO treaty, which is mutual defense. I think that all sides want to avoid that, which is why I think it's really important for us to continue to provide support to Ukraine for their defense, especially their anti-missile defense systems.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because some American officials, especially Republicans in the U.S. House, have called into question America's ongoing financial support for Ukraine. How confident are you that that will continue when the new Congress convenes in January?
I think that there is a good center of mass of both Democratic and Republican senators who want to continue to support our allies in the Ukraine, who understand that the human suffering caused and the blood spilled as a result of this unjustified attack on Ukraine's sovereignty by Vladimir Putin is not acceptable and would set very dangerous precedents on a global scale if we were allowed to continue without the United States and NATO allies opposing them. So I do think that, yes, there are incoming Republicans who are starting to talk about not supporting Ukraine, but I think that the vast majority of us do support it and would, vote them down.
I want to stick with the idea of foreign affairs for a moment. And in the last day or so, the BBC reported that a court in Iran issued the first death sentence in relation to the protests there. I wonder what role America should be taking, in your view, if any, to support the women and girls who are leading these protests against the government of Iran.
I think the role that we play and the role that we continue to need to play is one of speaking up. And I think that sanctions have certainly had an effect. It's why Iran has come back to the negotiation table when it comes to the Iran nuclear deal. And I think that there is still more that can be done when it comes to sanctions, but to continue to be very outspoken in our condemnation of what they're doing there in order to suppress, in particular, the women and girls of Iran.
All right. As we are taping this, it seems all but confirmed that Democrats are going to keep control of the Senate, but Republicans appear poised to take control of the House. I wonder what you make of the developments of the midterm elections this year.
Well, I think that, it became very clear that the American people recognized that Democrats delivered for working families. And that's why there was no red wave that happened. Usually in an off-year election, the president's party loses in a significant way. As it sits, Democrats maintain control of the Senate. And in fact, we're going to, after the special election in Georgia, I predict that we're going to expand our majority. And even though Republicans do get control of the House, it looks like that majority is going to be very small and they're going to be forced to compromise. I hope that that will lead to greater compromise and not gridlock. What happens, I just remember from my time in the House, sometimes partisanship within the Republican Party can keep the Republican Party from getting anything done. And I hope that doesn't happen, because we Democrats need a real partner in Republicans in order to execute the work of the American people. And so I hope that Republicans will be moved to compromise and work with Democrats, as opposed to resorting to gridlock, which is unfortunately what has happened in the past.
That's a very optimistic hope, I guess.
You know, I passed legislation my entire 6 years here, even under Trump administration. So I got 89 votes on the floor of the Senate for my water infrastructure bill. So I know it can happen. I know it's very optimistic, but I know it can happen. It doesn't get the top headlines, but I think if you just keep working away at it and try to be as bipartisan as possible and focus on solving real problems, you know, and sometimes it's not the big banner headline stuff, but you're still, you know, getting lead out of the drinking water supply for the entire nation is really important. And I'm glad that we were able to pass that.
No, and you're right. I should say the Senate, especially on infrastructure, on firearms, other topics, there has been some bipartisanship in the past few years. You've served in a number of different combinations of majority and minority party. I think this is the first time you'll be in a Democratic Senate majority working with a likely Republican majority House. Can you say more about where you see the Senate's role in a split legislative branch like that?
I think our role would be to send legislation to the House that at least, you know, 10 Republicans can vote on. And so it will be crafting legislation in a way that it'll get through the Senate. I mean, we get all 50 or 51 Democratic senators to vote for it, but we have to do it in a way that we can get support from, you know, a dozen Republicans in order to get it to pass the House. And so I think this is where the Senate being the more deliberative body, the body that sends over fewer pieces of legislation, but more thought out pieces of legislation, can perhaps help the process of actually being successful at getting things to pass both houses, instead of just, you know, sometimes in the House, I remember in the House, you know, there's 435 folks and they're just throwing things and see what sticks, you know. and sometimes it's better to take your time and really craft the legislation before you send it over to the other body.
And of course, confirming judgeships and administration mm-hmm. appointments for cabinet positions and that sort of thing. What are some of the items on your 2023 agenda and beyond?
Well, I am going to continue to work on issues that are faced with working families to lower everyday costs. In particular, I would like to also work on creating more local, good paying local jobs, in particular in the manufacturing industry. I see Illinois as a major location for two types of manufacturing. One, I think part of the global supply chain, in particular with chip manufacturing, trying to attract some of the foreign investments into Illinois, like Taiwan Semiconductors, to come into Illinois and establish manufacturing in Illinois. I also think that we should be leading the country when it comes to green energy. You know, we have more nuclear reactors than anywhere else in the country. We have Fermilab and Argonne National Laboratory. I think we're the location where we can develop real productive and useful technologies when it comes to reducing spent nuclear fuel. I think that we should be the leader when it comes to biofuels, especially aviation biofuels. I put legislation into this year's defense budget that looks at developing aviation biofuels for the defense, for defense uses, and that can expand to United Airlines, our hometown airline, and the aviation industry in general. I do think that things like carbon sequestration, all of the energy stuff, I think we should be able to lead the country in. I also am going to continue to work on things like banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, and continuing to work on veterans issues. You know, that is my in my heart, and I will always be an advocate for veterans. And so there are more bills that will support military families, trying to eliminate hunger and food insecurity among military families, which unfortunately we have right now. And it's a scourge that is just incredible that we could have people who are wearing the uniform of this great nation protecting and defending us, and yet they don't know if their kids are going to get to fed dinner tonight.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, who's just won a second six-year term in the United States Senate. She'll be sworn into that in January. We spoke on Tuesday afternoon in order to make our schedules meet. And Senator, you mentioned jobs, and obviously we're at a time of high inflation. One of the ways that the Federal Reserve Board tries to control inflation is by basically increasing joblessness. How do you think the Fed under Jerome Powell is doing in striking that balance between employment and inflation?
I think that they could probably have acted a little sooner, but it's a tough job. I mean, what they're trying to do, and I just hope that they continue to walk that that tightrope slows down inflation, but also not to a point that we enter into a recession. But there are some things we can do to bring down the prices for hardworking families. It's why I introduced my bill to go after price gouging. Most people don't know that gas prices are as high as they are because the oil and gas companies are taking advantage of the war in Ukraine and the pandemic, and they've in fact made record profits. I think this past quarter, you see, or the company saying that they've made double the record profits they did the same time period last year. They've stopped drilling in the 9,000 plots of land that they have permits for and drilling rights for to drive up prices. So we have to go after price gouging, and that is something that can be attacked and worked on here in the Senate, and I'm going to continue to push that bill forward. We can bring down the cost of prescription drugs. Pharmaceuticals is the other industry that continues to make record prices. You know, the fact that people have to pay $2,000 for insulin per month is ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about a drug that costs about $5 to $10 to manufacture, and yet you have drug companies selling it for $2,000 a month. Well, we certainly can work on bringing down those prices.
We were talking about inflation a moment ago, and that was obviously thought to be one of the major issues heading into the election, although we're learning that a lot of people also had the issue of abortion top of mind as they were voting this year. You spoke out after one of your colleagues, Senator Lindsey Graham, introduced a national 15-week abortion ban. Fast forward, as I said, it was one of the top issues bringing people out to the polls. Where do you see a divided Congress going on the issue of abortion policy, if anywhere?
Well, I think the American people made it clear that they want politicians out of their personal healthcare decisions. And remember that the Dobbs decision was about more than just access to abortion. It was about the privacy right to personal autonomy. So I do hope that we can move towards passing a codification of Roe v. Wade into law, in addition to codifying equal marriage, into also codifying access to contraception. These are all three things were mentioned by Justice Clarence Thomas in the Dobbs decision as rights that the Americans thought they had for the last 50 years and that are being denied. So this is something we're going to keep working on. I am going to be introducing a piece of legislation that codifies people's right to in vitro fertilization. I wouldn't have my two beautiful daughters without IVF, and some of the interpretations happening in some states right now would actually make IVF illegal, some forms of IVF illegal, and certainly no American would consider that as would think about that as, oh my gosh, that's what this Dobb decision did. Now I can't have IVF. Well, in some states, that's what they're going after. And so I do think that we'll continue to work on it. I know that there are Republicans who would support some of this legislation. And I hope that we can codify the Women's Access to Reproductive Health Care Act.
I know our time is coming to an end together, but before we conclude, I do want to ask you about this ongoing issue of political violence. And Paul Pelosi, the spouse of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, is still recovering from this violent attack at their home. The alleged attacker reportedly had other prominent state and federal politicians and their relatives on his target list. What more should we be doing to confront this problem of political violence?
I think each and every one of us has a responsibility to ratchet down our political rhetoric. It's why I try to speak in very bipartisan terms as much as possible, and I do everything that I can to not demonize, folks that don't agree with me. And in fact, on January 6th, when we retook the Senate chambers, from the insurrectionists. And I was asked to stand up and give a quick 3-minute speech on the floor about our military men and women and what it means to defend democracy and why it was important for us to resume our work that night. From the time that I stood up to give my speech and when I laid when I sat down in my chair, I had a death threat, not just to me, but a threat to my family members, naming them by name on my personal cell phone from an individual. We've got to end this. We have to enter our dialogue, a political dialogue, whether in our personal lives or if you are an elected official. You got to start off by just, you know, what I do is I think, okay, I'm just going to assume that the other person loves this nation as much as I love this nation. They just are looking at the issues different from a different perspective, different angle, and therefore their solutions are different than mine. But we have to go from a place of understanding that we are both Americans and we love this nation and we want the best for our nation and try to go from there. But it's hard. It's hard. And I understand that. But I do think every one of us needs to ratchet down the rhetoric and stop making this about something. These personal attacks are just not acceptable.
Senator Tammy Duckworth, thank you for being with us on the 21st Show.
It's my pleasure to be on. Thank you.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.